This is our Church of Jesus youth group parent seminar. And especially the years of youth group is a very difficult stage in life. You're not a child, but you're still not yet an adult. And in function or thought or emotion, it's still, you're still like a child. You may say you're not, but you're all 13 years and older, right? So all of you are, so if you're younger than 13 years old, raise your hand. So none of them here, right? Or there's 14-year-olds here, but no 13. So you are legally not, so juveniles, you're minors, and you're reaching your adulthood, so you're kind of in like the middle transition stage. Yes? And I think that God really has given us this opportunity to meet together like this. And it's something that I should have done earlier. And I do this stage in life, this you question your identity. Am I still a child or am I an adult? And you're in this transitional stage and you're still under your parents' roof, but you still can't do your own thing. You still need the consent of your parents. So it's this kind of awkward stage in life and also very dangerous. You can go far right or far so left, but you're just in this like gray area, and it's kind of awkward and strange, and perhaps you may even lose your sense of identity at this stage in life. And so I really take I pity such souls in this stage in life, especially if you live faith life here at this age. It's all the more difficult. And the spiritual life that we live. So in school, there's very few people who go to church amongst your friends, likely. And so on top of that, for us, we have to live this faith life. So why are we here at Church of Jesus? It's because of your parents' faith that so Linda, it wasn't by your choice, but actually your parent. So you kind of followed your parents here? And because you're all nice kids, not because you had faith in the beginning, but because you're just good kids, nice kids. So better than unbelievers, and you at least know that. At least you know that you are a soul. Are you sure of that? That I am a soul. That I'm not just a flesh, but I am a spiritual being. I am a soul. You know that? Are you sure?
Okay.
How about you?
Okay.
Do you believe that? That you're a soul? So what does it mean by I am a soul? So the flesh will one day die and disappear, but the soul, it lives forever. Do you believe that? And to exist forever. So the flesh, if you commit suicide, you don't want to live any longer and you just want to end this life, it's just the end for the flesh. But because you're a spiritual being, you can't commit suicide. You live forever, so you cannot take your own life. So that's why it's important where you live, where you will live. Where do you want to live? Where? Jerry? Sam?
You know, Adam, right? Yeah. You know your flesh or your body, and don't you just love it, but your soul feeds into the soul, right? So, whatever you want to believe, and you are satisfied. Father, come. Wow, not your own house.
Not Jung-ho, Lee Jung-ho's house? Not there? So father's house. So not your earthly father, but you know that you have a heavenly father. And the attribute of God we reviewed today was he is the father of spirits. You know that the father of your spirit is God. So when the soul is generated, created, it cannot disappear. It exists forever, and the problem is where it will exist forever. Just because our flesh dies. So when you are kids, you have no interest in or no thought of death. Maybe if you have a sickness, then you may have thought about what it means to die, but you just have a fun and a joyful life at this time. And I was like this at your age. When I was your age, I was young like you. And it just seems like yesterday. Really, it does. But now we know that life is really short. We're nearing the end. However, eternity is forever. It's eternal. And where you go and live is very important, therefore. So do you believe that truly? Is it just because you've been taught this that you believe, or do you actually believe it? Then so the flesh is only like clothing for your spirit. It's like clothing. That clothing you can take off and you can change your clothes, but the spirit lives on forever, and it's something that you can't change. That you take the sword, you take the bullet, it's not going to disappear, and that is the problem. And what do we hope for? We hope to go to the Father's house. And where is the Father's house? Nadan, where is the Father's house? Yes, so we want to go to the Father's house, which is outside of this universe, and this is what we have decided to do. But why not in the universe? Because the universe is so huge, so big. So is it because so much pollution here? Is that why you want to leave this universe? Why? What did she say?
Oh yeah. Good.
Yes, because it will become hell. Yes, good. This is where we clap. Yes, it will turn to the eternal fire. It will change to the eternal fire, and my flesh will die and disappear, but the spirit, will turn to eternal being. And this is called the resurrection of the spirit. And it's I, the soul, the spirit, that will resurrect and live in the spiritual body forever. And do you really believe that? That I, the spirit, inside of you can't see it, you can't sense it. We just say that there is a spirit. Other people, they do not know and have never heard of this, but only in the Bible does it say that I have the spirit, that I am the spirit. And one day, on the last day, we will change into the spiritual body. This, what we see and feel, is the material body, but inside of us we have the spiritual body that will be the eternal body. And when you stab yourself, or it's not going to die, and even in the fire, it's not going to disappear. And if you end up in hell, you will just be there forever. And what if you end up there? And because of that, that is why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that, "I am the way to the Father's house, that no one can go to the Father's house except through me." And only when you believe in Jesus, and only when you receive His blood, can you receive the qualification to go to the Father's house. You all believe that, right? So the fact that you know that you are a soul, we know very well. We know this so well, and you may say that that's as long as we know, that's what matters. And you may think that's enough. But when you ask the life that you live right now, and then one day when you will resurrect to the spiritual bodies and this universe, we don't know how many years down the road that this universe will turn to hell. We don't know. But all the words written in the Bible, there are 32,500 prophecies. 32,500 prophecies, and except for one, everything has been fulfilled. Some were fulfilled thousands of years later, 100 years. Everything was fulfilled, and one prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled is the return of Jesus Christ. And when He does return, this will be the end of this world. So 32,500 prophecies that have been fulfilled, except for one. What is the probability? The probability that the Bible may not be true, what is that probability? That all those prophecies were fulfilled except for one, Jesus Christ's return. So Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection is also according to His prophecy. Now, according to His prophecy, He was risen back to life in 3 days, and He ascended to heaven, and days later He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was sent. And even afterwards, those who believe in Jesus, if they pray in the name of Jesus, He will answer. That all of these were experienced, at least one of them, by your parents, and that's why they're here today, and that's why you're here. So youth group, what about you? Did you ever have experience that you prayed and received answer? Raise your hand. That you prayed and you received answer. Have you ever had that experience? Raise your hand. No, you haven't? Is you just coming here by force? Never? Wow. I guess you still have good faith then, even. You've never received answer, but how can you believe? Because of your dad, your mom? Yes, that could be, that makes sense. What would you have to pray for at this age? Maybe something, thank you for this good food, amen? Not something like that, but when you were in a situation where there's no other solution except your prayer, and then when you did so and you received answer, because of such experiences, you cannot deny the Bible that you physically experienced this, and that's why you have faith and you say, "Hallelujah, God is alive. I prayed and God answers, and Jesus is alive." And Jesus said He's coming back, so He's going to come back. And so if so, then I, the soul, will resurrect to the spiritual body. And where will I be then on that day? Let me ask you. So when Jesus comes in the end day, last day, where do you think you will be, Linda? That on that day, you have to resurrect and you have to go before Jesus. Jesus, he will come back in the air, is what he said. So in order to be lifted up into the air, you have to resurrect. And resurrection, everyone will resurrect. Even those who go to hell will resurrect. Those who go to heaven will resurrect. But when Jesus returns in the air, those who will resurrect and be lifted up into the air is the first resurrection. And who will enter the first resurrection? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Everyone found it? I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So if you, before this, have you ever heard any message like this, sermon like this, you've learned from your teacher, something like this? So, or is this your first time reading something like this? There's probably a lot of you, most of you, who have never heard something like this. But this is what's written in the Bible. And when Jesus returns, the Lord returns, those out of those who are here on earth, there, those who are turned, resurrect into the spiritual body, they will be lifted up into the air where Jesus is, where there will be a banquet, and will meet Jesus. And it will be a welcoming and very joyous meeting, encounter, and they will reign like kings. So this is the greatest goal of our faith life. But those who do not make it up there on that day, that they die. So the thief, he died. Where is he now? When Jesus died on the cross, where's the thief? He's in paradise. So those in paradise, they're there. And when... And those who are lifted up into the air and enter this banquet are those who were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus because of the word of God. Those who did not worship a beast or its image, those martyrs can enter the first resurrection and be lifted up into the air and be like kings and forever in heaven. This is our hope. But what about those who do not enter here? There's a second second resurrection. So those who enter the first those who do not make it to the first resurrection and can't be like kings and reign there, but there are also those who will enter the second resurrection, but there are also those who will be thrown into hell. So I'm trying to summarize this, and it's kind of getting difficult. So those who enter the first resurrection, where will they go? They will be lifted up into the air, the banquet in the air, first resurrection. And that's very few. Those who are the level of martyrs. But the rest, there will be a second resurrection. It will be their turn. And they're also resurrect to go to hell. Even for going to hell for eternal, they have to resurrect to their eternal bodies, to eternal beings, to go to hell even. Out of those, there will be those who resurrect to go to hell, and also those those who go to heaven, but in so those who resurrect to the first resurrection, there's the holy city. So you all read this somewhere in the Bible. Do you remember the holy city? Holy city. You read that? The holy city. There are the kings there enter with their crowns, and that city is. So let's try to draw this. So you'll learn this in Logos, but before that, let's try to receive this information. So the universe will is the Hades. It will one day become hell, eternal hellfire, and then beyond this universe, just imagine the universe is billions of light years, and just imagine how vast beyond this universe is. But then beyond this universe in Revelation chapter 21, it says in very in details the measurements of this very small space. So in the vast universe there is this very small place which is the holy city, but outside of that is the dark place outside the gates where the wicked and lazy servants will be thrown into. So when we die and resurrect, there are three places you can either end up. Hell, is that okay? Hell, okay? No. Never happen. Never. That should never happen. So where must we go then? We have to enter the holy city. If not the holy city, then it's outside the holy city, which is in the outside, in the darkness, where you will be weeping and gnashing your teeth. Forever, you'll be weeping and gnashing, meaning you will be in regret forever that you say, I should have done this when I was alive, I should have done better, that I should have lived my faith life, and you'll be weeping and gnashing forever and ever. And outside in the dark place, you have no neighbors. It's dark. You can't see anything. You can't see anyone. And you will be there by yourself in that vast place. So between the distance between star to star, we think from here in our perspective, it's like very close together, but they're not actually. They're really far apart. Do you understand? What's your name? Oh, so I gave you your name. Do you know how far apart the stars are? They're so far apart in that vast space, and alone you will be there forever and ever. So you resurrected and it's not hell. You can't even kill yourself. It's going to be so scary that you can't go to hell. You'll never want to go to hell, but you also don't want to end up in the dark place. So therefore, the only option we have left is to enter the first resurrection. And for that, you have to live a life like a martyr, that you live a faith life. You can't do it half-heartedly. You have to do it right, so that you do not end up in hell, and you will enter eternal life where you will be happy and joyful forever and ever. So now I'm setting this as a foundation. So we will stand before his judgment. He will judge. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5:10. Second Corinthians chapter 5:10. If you found it, let's start. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ without any exception. Those who have not entered the first resurrection, they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that they will come? To do what? You will receive what is due for all the things you've done while alive in the body. You will be judged for all of that. There is another judgment that you cannot hide anything. It will just be like a bright light shining on you. Like, you know, when they're searching for criminals, they have the searchlights. It's or in the interrogation room, they have that light shined on the criminal, and they say, confess your sins, what you've done. But they can't because the lights are shining on them. So immaturely or foolishly, you may have done some things and think it's not anything or not bad. But when you stand before the judgment, everything it's recorded in the book. You cannot hide. You cannot escape it. Do you believe that it will happen according to the Bible, Chedim? Do you believe that? So I named you. When I say Chedim, I'm talking about return, Chedim. And when that happens, what we just read will occur. That when there is the return of Christ, if you do not meet Jesus in the air, then you will stand before the judgment, and the result of that is either hell or outside the holy city in darkness. Both of them are not good options. And you have to believe this fact so that you can decide how to live your life. If you do not believe this, then it's like, this is a joke. There's no reason for you to be here. No reason for you to come to church. Why come to church? If you're at this age and you're not adults yet, but why would you have to come to church? You're not going to be punished by the law, punished by school. The parents are just going to nag you, but that's it. If you do not believe, then don't come to church. No reason to come. But what if you don't come to church and parents don't give you lunch money? That's foolish. But you come because for your soul. That you had not known you were a soul, but the Bible says you are. And how do you know that you are a soul? You know by demons that dead ancestors appear in your dreams or demons surface. And then you realize that there are spirits, and the one evidence is the experience of demons. And even if you have not experienced it, you know because it says in the Bible, I, the soul, my flesh. My soul. So I, the soul, my flesh. So what must you live for? Your flesh or for your soul? So the flesh lives for maybe hundreds of years, 120 years, but the soul lives forever. And if you do not understand this, then you go to hell. That if you... So what you have done, good or evil, what you have done with your body will be judged. The things you have committed with your body, your flesh, your soul will be judged. It's your soul that will be judged. And how unfair for the soul. Because of your flesh, your soul has to go to hell. Because of your flesh, your soul has to pay the consequence. How unfair. You have to love your soul. Amen? I, the soul. It's me. If I don't love myself, then who will love my soul? Only the Father God. the Father God. He has done everything for us already. He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, to take on our sins and even shed His blood. And when we have received this blood, there's nothing else we should expect from Him. Now it's up to us now. So in John chapter 10, it says, Jesus said, I have not come to judge, but the words that I have spoken will judge on the last day. That Jesus, the words that He spoke, you may have not realized how important it was, but those words will judge your soul. So the words of Jesus, you have to therefore understand. Amen? You have to understand well. And if you do not understand, then ask for understanding. And when you do understand, you have to struggle to live according to it. And if you do not live according to His word, then that's a problem. So Matthew chapter 5:17. Matthew chapter 5:17. So now, who would have imagined I would have this Bible study with the youth group? This is great, right? My voice is a bit loud, but isn't this great? So your parents have heard this all the time, and that's why they're the people they are today. That I've said this, I've been yelling at them, and they receive grace, and that's why they're here. So you guys are blessed too. And how grateful are we to be able to hear this? Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of all these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So the law, you think of the Ten Commandments. You all remember the first, you shall have no other gods before me. And then second, that you shall not have any idols. And what is the third? Do not blaspheme His name. And then fourth, keep the Sabbath, the day holy. And then fifth, honor your parents. To honor your parents, that's part of the law, the Ten Commandments. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He did not abolish the law. That until heaven and earth disappear. Raise your hand if you have experience of not listening to your parents. Cause them trouble. Raise your hand. Not Kisu? You've never caused trouble? You've never not listened? Only Mom? Never? Wow. Anyway, honor your parents. So if you go against that, it's sin is sin. That even in the law, if they broke even one, then no one is without sin. And if you did adultery, then it's... So you broke one, then it's the same as breaking all. If you broke one, it's the same as breaking all, as it says in James chapter 2. So you've already broken one, at least. And you are a sinner. And then the number 6, you shall not murder. You haven't done that. And what's number 7? You shall not commit adultery. And then next, you shall not steal. And then you shall not bear. You shall not covet. So you say, oh man, I don't have this. Have you ever never had that experience? Never coveted? Raise your hand. Everyone has had that experience. So even the law is still in effect, and no one can say they are without sin. And then on top of that, Jesus commanded. He gave us more commandments to keep. So whether under the law or whether under the words of Jesus, we cannot escape from this sin. And what is the price of sin? Is death. So we have the law was the law, its role, its function was for us to recognize sin. And why is the law still here? Because it's for us to recognize and realize we are sinners, and to therefore fear the price of sin, the punishment of sin. And so, in other words, to fear hell. You fear hell? Kisu? Do you fear hell? But it looks like you're all confident, but you're still scared of hell? So if it's truly hell, then you must be frightened. You must be scared. And that's a man of spirit. If you're not afraid of hell, then you're just like an animal. Animals, they don't know they're going to be executed, that they'll be put to death. They just follow. Like the chickens. The master is boiling the water. They have no idea what's going on, and they just die. And they say cluck, and then they die, and they become a fry. So even animals can kind of sense, like a cow. They kind of resist, and they don't want to go because they smell the blood. So even animals can kind of sense when death is right in front of them. So we have learned the Bible, and you do not fear hell, then you should go to hell then. But why go to hell? It's because of sin. Because of the price of sin. Because of sin. So therefore we have to be nervous. To the point of being nervous, we have to be awake and alert. Is this sin? Have I sinned? There are so many sins. You can't keep all those commands. And that's why it's inevitable that you sin. But this price of sin we want waived. Jesus, he paid the price of our sins. You all believe that? I have the blood of Jesus. Then I have the blood of Jesus today. And because I have the blood of Jesus, if I die today, you will go to paradise. There's one person who has gone. Who is it? The thief who died beside Jesus on the cross. When he died, he went to paradise, Abraham's side, and nothing more to repent about because he died. And so he's actually a lucky guy, and I'm actually envious of. But the problem is we are alive, that we're still alive in this flesh, that because this flesh is alive, not only that, all the senses, all the functions are alive. As we heard in the sermon, sarx, it's meaning carnal, or fleshly, or secular. Is what that word means. That whether animal or human, they're made from the dust, and they all have this sin, this lust. It's just drenched in sin, is what our flesh is. And if you have this sin, if the flesh has this sin and dies with this sin, that there's a problem. So Hebrews chapter 10, 26. Hebrews chapter 10, 26. So say truth. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Those are the words of Jesus. That if you know the truth, and who is the truth? To know Jesus is the truth. Know Jesus as the truth, and further, that his death was what paid for the price of our sins. If you know this fact, then we can be set free from sin. Sin from what? Sins from the past. Sins from the past, we can be set free. Not your future sins, but set free from your past sins. The price of your past sins. So it says, so you've received the knowledge of the truth, that you know that Jesus, he redeemed your sins. You believe that? Amen? But, so you've received the truth, easily you receive this news and you said amen. But the problem is, if we deliberately, if we willingly keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire. So it says, if we deliberately, willfully sin, what that means is that there are many different translations. Some say willfully, and others say deliberately you keep on sinning. So if you deliberately keep on sinning, you willfully continue to sin. It says keep on sinning, that you continue to do that. That you just do it mindlessly and you just keep doing it. These are deliberate, willful sins. And it says no sacrifice for sins is left. That these sins are still there, and that you've committed these sins, what happens? These sins, the price of these sins, you are afraid of hell. So therefore you have to resolve these sins somehow. You have to be free from these sins. And how? There's one method in 1 John chapter 1. Now let's turn there, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So John, he inspired John to write this, and I am just so thankful that there is a way for us to live. This is our one hope, that by one sin and and then going to hell. But because we, the angels do not have this opportunity to repent. But because we have this flesh, this sarx, because of we have the flesh, if we repent, if we turn back, he will forgive us, is what it says here. Amen. That the sins we've committed because of this flesh, because of this darn flesh, the sins I've committed, carnal, secular, fleshly, sarx, because of this flesh, I sin, but because of this flesh, we have the opportunity to repent, and if we do, he will forgive us. And that's why humans are have received grace, are creatures that have received grace. The sins that we've committed because of the flesh, but while we're in the flesh, if we repent, we can be forgiven. Now, kind of, I say, pat your soul and say, wow, how fortunate. But the problem is, it says, if we claim, to be without sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, for the rest of your life, you have to be conscious of your sin, and you have to ask yourself, what sin did I commit today? That if you even if you mindlessly sin, in the Bible it says, willfully, deliberately, keep on sinning. And no sacrifice for sins is left. That you still have these sins. There's these sins that you still have not. You have to pay the consequence. But because He is merciful and He is faithful, and you confess it, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, you don't just say with your lips, but to truly remember those sins, to search for the sins that you've committed and mourn. So, like Job, who he was just afflicted with these hardships, and Job, he said, "Do you search out my sins? That do you search out my sins?" So he had to confess, or else he'd die, is what he asked God. So like that, just like a prosecutor like flashes a light on you and say, you have to confess, just like that, we have to ourselves search out the sins we've committed. Why do we have to pray? To repent. We need the time of prayer to repent. Prayer is for repentance and asking. You ask, it's not just for asking. Before you ask, you have to empty out the trash. You have to clean it out. You have to divulge your sins. You have to confess these sins and be clean. And even if it's not long, when you ask, He will give you. So because you do not acknowledge your sins, because you do not confess your sins, He does not answer your prayers. It's not because He's not able to, but because between you and God, there is this wall of sin that blocks you. That's why you have to empty out these sins. And the sins that we, as we learn, there's the original sin, there's the self-committed sins, and there's the sins of desire. The sins that we've committed with our flesh, our bodies, also sins we've committed in our hearts. These sins of desire, there's no one who falls exception to this. And in the Bible, there's the sin of mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6:15. 1 Corinthians chapter 6:15. Verse 12, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. That we have received the truth and I am free. I am a free man. I am a free man. So we can enjoy freedom, but only within the law, under the law. But if you cannot break the law, then you're a lawbreaker. That even in society, in the world, you're considered a lawbreaker. But it says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. So we have to have these, in order to truly enjoy this freedom, you have to know how to restrict yourselves. And then verse 13, you say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. So you're in the youth age, and you have a lot of energy, they say. But even so, it says you must not use your bodies for sexual immorality, but use your body for the Lord. Amen. For your soul. And then verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? That if you commit sexual immorality, then you are defiling the body of Christ. Our bodies are members of Christ. So we say the church is the body of Christ, and if we are believers of Jesus, and even our bodies are members of Christ, not just our souls, but even our bodies are the members of the body of Christ. But you've done sexual immorality, then it says here that you've united with a prostitute. That you've united with a prostitute, this sexual immorality you've committed, you've defiled, you've sinned against the body of Christ. That you are a member of the body, you are part of this body, but so let's say skinship, then the same as skinship with the body of Christ, and the same as uniting with a prostitute, committing adultery, can you do that then? Then no. Will he forgive such then? No. And then let's read on. Verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. It says, so other sins like beating someone up or violence or stealing, all the sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body, and sins against, therefore, the body of Christ. And it says, verse 19, do you not know that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Temples of the Holy Spirit. Temples of the Holy Spirit. That my body is the member of the body of Christ, a part of the body of Christ, but also a temple, as it says here. And if you defile the temple, then it's the sin deserving of death. And how scary is that then? That we've just read this, it's very scary. So just the youth, very immaturely, or you may think it's they're immature and foolish and just live life as it is, but I know that this word is very difficult, but this is something I've wanted to share, and I thought that the children, as long as they come to church, it's okay, but now I see that, wow, you guys have grown, you guys are all grown, and just these kids, the youth, there's the physical changes, it's difficult, but also on top of that, you go to school, your friends, they all live like animals. We see in the news, and you see them, and you feel like a nerd, or you feel kind of left out, and they say, you can't do that, why can't you date, and they may criticize you, or make fun of you, maybe, but I want to save you all. Because if not, it's hell. Hell. And you can't go to hell. No one can go to hell. And the way is for us to sincerely, wholeheartedly, and with all that we have, mourn. And if there is any hope, any chance for us, this is where it is. For he is faithful and merciful. If we confess our sins, if we mourn, then he will deliver us from all unrighteousness. And he will erase, he will delete those sins. And that's the hope that we have, and that's through repentance. It's not just to say with your lips, I'm sorry, but we see in the Old Testament, those who mourned and repented, they truly did so. And it's only by repentance that they would deny themselves and to and make the confession that I don't want to live like a sinner any longer, to mourn, and because God is merciful, He is faithful, He will deliver us from our sins, and we have to have that experience. We have to try that. So sin cannot be in the present. It cannot be in the present, its presentness, but it must be the past. How? It's through mourning and through repentance. And if you can't do that, then try fasting and to gain God's favor, His interest, and so that before God, it's I'm even resisting myself to this point, this flesh that wants to keep sinning. I'm restricting and so have mercy on me. And then you receive the forgiveness of God, and now sin must be in the past, and with the new strength you receive, you use to have to live a successful faith life. Amen. Hallelujah. So this message I wanted to give you, and after hearing this fact that you cannot agree, you cannot receive the word of God, and you think that the words of pastor are different from the words of God, then raise your hand. Raise your hand if you do not agree and can't accept this. No one? You think this is all right? We've confirmed in the Bible. So then what must we do then? You've been confirmed that this is true, this is right, then the words that He has spoken will judge you, and therefore you have to live according to it. Have you resolved to do so? Amen. And now I believe that you have resolved to live accordingly. So what can I do and give guideline for you to live like this? I've thought about if so the guideline is in this difficult age and time, I guess in your teens, the most difficult sin is sexual immorality, because you just feel it in your body, something's different, you're changing, you're growing, and you want to do something and you want to experience, but you have to just overcome this time to not sin. And to not sin, you must not create the environment to sin. That if you do not want to sin, then you avoid the environment where there will be sin. So don't, it says, the teacher say, they don't go to these sinful places, or don't even go out at night. Some parents that don't go out after sundown. And to the youth group, I want to share this idea to protect you from these sins. Until you graduate high school, whether in church or whether outside of church, do not date. And that I have announced this as our church decision. You know what dating is. You can meet in the bakery or go to a movie theater. That date, to not do that. So anyone who disagrees that I do not agree, is this unfair, then raise your hand. And you say, not even the theaters? What are you going to do at the theaters? Is that it? Yeah, initially, yeah, you just watch, you're just sitting next to each other and you're watching the screen and you say, oh my gosh, and you have these reactions. And then 1 minute later, he grabs your hand. And next. And then next. And then next. What happens? So it just, there's this Korean saying where it just starts off with a speck and it just grows. So before that happens, you have to cut it off. And then you say they go to college, then they can do what they want. They're already in college, they're already leaving the house, they're not under your roof, and they can make their own decisions for their own life. But while you are still minors, You live under your parents' roof and do as your parents say. So I say again that at COJ, Church of Jesus Youth Group, will not date anyone in church or out of church. Do you understand? Everyone raise your hand. If you agree and you will do this, then put down your hand. Hallelujah. So then you may say some age groups, or they go to shopping together, or they have these fellowship together. Those are okay, as long as it's not by yourselves. You can go with friends, but just don't be or make that environment where you sin. You have to protect yourselves and protect each other. And if that is broken, if anyone breaks this and someone... then there will surely be consequences given by the church. And there will be punishment given by the church. So then now you say, I cannot come to Church of Jesus. Okay, if that's your decision, then do what you want. But if you don't have the confidence to live for your soul, then go anywhere. You're in America, you live in this age, you can do what you want. But before sharing this message, before God, I've been contemplating so much, and I don't want to say anything that's wrong in God's eyes, and I really wanted to share the Word of God, the Word of the Holy Spirit that He wants to speak to the church. I've done that. And I hope that you all keep this. So just ask your dad to make you good food. Are you just saying that because your parents are right there, or is that really your decision? Why? Why must you do so? What's the reason? For what? Why must you do this? You're in your youth, and you're just gaining muscles and getting bigger. Why do you have to do that then? Why? Because I am a soul. Amen? Amen. Compared to eternity, this is nothing, right? So what does Kisu mean? It's like a horseback rider, and it's called a Kisu. The jockeys, they're called Kisu. So you ride the white horse with Jesus. What was your name? You understand completely? Yeah. there's a guy. Is there anyone that asks for a date?
No.
You're still young? Likely not. What about, wow, Spencer, his face changed a lot. It scares me, actually, when these kids' faces change so quickly, and just think about how their thoughts, therefore, have changed. And I'm just worried who's going to really guide them and teach them. But anyhow, your soul is the same, and by the blood of Jesus, you have been cleansed, and you are Holy Spirit. You are a holy and cleansed soul. So keep going. His So everyone, you understand? And do you agree and we'll live like that? Who's that in the back?
Jacob.
So they're sisters and brother. Sister and brother. You agree with everything? So everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand. I am a soul. I will live according to the words of Christ. I, the soul, when Jesus Christ returns, will enter the wedding banquet and enter the holy city. And for that, will obey and submit to the words of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let us pray. Holy Father, God, today, all the our staff's children who they have grown and their targets of sin, and after being heartbroken and contemplating about what to do, God, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to share this message. Have mercy on them all so that none of them fall away but return to the Father's house. And what they have heard today, let it be a big realization and understanding and encouragement to them so that they can overcome the sinful world and return back to the Father's house. And let them and parents all join and be united with one faith and one hope so that none fall behind but enter the Father's house. Bless them and help them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So what we need for this is the help and cooperation from the parents. So all of you are here because of your parents. It's up to the parents now that if they truly agree with this word and want to live according to this word and make that resolve, that decision, and pray more for this and repent more for this, that, and protect your families and protect your children. Hallelujah.